Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
That's amazing, eh? What a blessing. Such a privilege to share the word this morning. And, we had the privilege of having some family visit us this week. They're living in Scotland. And their little one, we haven't seen them in 8 years, so that was a blessing to see them. And we met the little girl for the first time. She's turning 5. But and she's dialects. No, an interesting, what do you call it? Accents coming through there. Yes, but at that age, when you're growing up in a bilingual environment, I remember this from myself as well. That sometimes when you're very small, you're not even sure which language are you speaking now. You know, so sometimes you'll ask your dad, I probably don't know Afrikaans, you know. Am I speaking Afrikaans now, or is this English? You know, and what a blessing! It's it's interesting about kids growing up bilingually is that up to a certain age, the vocabulary for in one language will be smaller than that of a child growing up with only one language, but their combined vocabulary is always more. And then in time they catch up, and that's a great blessing. But yeah, it was great to have them, and thank God for the pound, hey? We had some good times this week. No, but what a blessing. And it was maybe a bit short, but it was good. Hope everybody is doing well. Philip and Janetta and their family are on holiday. They're taking a well-deserved break. And please pray for them as they rest, as they take time off. You know, guys, we just have to remind ourselves that we've been blessed with great leaders. Amen. And that in Philip and Janetta, we have incredibly godly people that are serving us so amazingly. I've known Philip for about 25 years. Eh? Getting on, eh? And Janetta a little bit less. But it's rare to find people that are so committed to the people of God, whose hearts are always for the people of God to grow and to flourish, and to flourish in what God has for each one of us. And whenever, if anything happens that makes you doubt that, know that that is the heart. You know, maybe the way things happen, sometimes we don't understand, you know, and it always happens like this in any congregation, you know, you don't always understand the ins and outs of what's going on, but know that their hearts are for you and I to flourish in God and in His purposes, amen. So, yeah, we really appreciate them and we love them. So pray for them as they're having a break, and let's trust God to really honor them and serve them in a way that honors God, amen. Great stuff. We are continuing from last week, and just want to quickly recap what we looked at last week. We started looking at Philippians, where we see that Jesus is the ultimate example of humility, right? He's the one that humbled himself. He came from the throne of glory, and he humbled himself to come in the form of man, to come and serve us by giving his life for us. That's the ultimate act of serving, an act of love, an act of humility. So he came down, he emptied himself, and he came in the form of a servant, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death. And then we went on and we looked at just the concept of humility, more from a biblical perspective. We looked at Romans 12, looking at ourselves soberly, and you know, how that means that not only do we look at ourselves not highly, more highly than we ought to, but we also understand, we grow in our understanding of who God has created us to be. That is part of the soberness, and that often we underestimate. Humility means understanding that I am completely dependent upon God, but at the same time, realizing that He has given me grace and He's giving me the power of His Spirit to accomplish what He has called me to do. Amen. So there's that part as well. So we looked at that definition of humility. It says it's a lifelong venture as we increase in the knowledge of God's Word and an appreciation for God's work through Christ. So there's a continual growth in our understanding and our revelation of who God is and who He's created us to be. And we looked at the life of Paul, and I'm not going to go through all those scriptures now. If we can skip forward to the timeline, it's so encouraging to see Paul, you know, before he became born again, he thought of himself as blameless because he was doing everything right, okay? And then you can skip forward to that little timeline thingy. And then, but it doesn't matter, I'll just recap it. And then we see himself, you know, coming to Christ, and then he calls himself the least of the apostles. That's early on in his ministry. And then later on, we see himself calling him the least of all the saints, least of all believers. And then towards the end of his life, where he's accomplished so much for the kingdom, you know, he's had incredible encounters with God, incredible, powerful accomplishments, if you want to call it that, or adventures with God. And then we see him grow in that revelation and saying that I'm the worst of sinners. You know, so although he's at the end of his life and the end of his race of faith, and the Lord has done such amazing things through his life, he finds himself in this place of humility where he says, "Oh, this is all just by the grace of God. I'm actually the worst of sinners." And we see this powerful progression, which is how it works. And the more we grow in our knowledge of God, the more we understand how little we are without him. And the more we find encouragement and strength in who he is rather than who we are. All right. And then we went on to look at John 3, Colossians, and this. And Peter writes, he says, "Count the patience of our Lord." Are we all there now? Yes, that's the one. Great. "Count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote." Now, this is Peter quoting Paul. Cool, eh? "As our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." So talking about how easily it is to twist and turn scripture to suit different ideas that are not of God, right? Then he says, "Take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." And then he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." And then, so he's saying there is a place where we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've spoken about growing in a humility, but these are very closely connected, right? But how do we grow in grace? How do we grow in humility? And grace can be defined as unmerited favor, undeserved favor. And this is an interesting concept because, you know, there's a lot of, in the scripture it talks about the goodness and the mercy of God following us and covering us, and the goodness of God surrounding us and the favor of God surrounding us like a shield. So my question is, if all expect, can we expect it? Because we don't deserve it. You get what I'm saying? And now the good news that I have for us this morning is that although it's unmerited, it's undeserved, because Jesus paid the price on the cross on our behalf, that was once and for all finished. And through that victory of the cross, the grace and the favor and the blessing of God is now something that we can expect. But not because of what we have done. Does that make sense? But because of what Christ has done, we can expect that goodness of God and that favor of God and that blessing of God. We can walk in an expectation that God's goodness will follow us and His mercy will follow us. Not because we deserve it, never, but because of Christ, because of what He has accomplished. And you know what the amazing thing is about the cross, and I mustn't get sidetracked now, but when Jesus paid that price on the cross, He won that victory over sin and death on our behalf, and He opened the way for us to have that relationship with the Father. And He says, you know, that veil was torn in two in that moment that He gave up His life. And for the first time, that veil that was in the temple up to that point, only the high priest could go into the presence of God in the temple. And there was this thick veil, this thick curtain that separated the presence of God from the nation. And only He could go in there under very special circumstances. And at the moment when Jesus died, supernaturally that veil was torn from top to bottom. And God said, now, through the blood of my Son, you are able to enter the presence of God boldly. You don't have to be afraid, but because Christ has paid the price. And if you come in Christ, you are able to enter into that place that He has prepared. So, not only has He won that victory for us, but you know, when somebody makes a promise or somebody makes a contract, a covenant, in a biblical version of a contract is a covenant. It's just a lot better than a contract. What do we need? Proof of pay? Proof. You know, these days, people always say, send me the pop, you know, the proof of payment, or send me the proof of transaction or whatever. But if it's something, if you're buying something on marketplace or online or from some person, don't give it or don't pay until, you know, just be careful. If you're receiving payment, make sure you can transfer it before you release your goods. Any case, but you know, so, but the interesting thing is when we look at the Holy Spirit, the name given for the Holy Spirit, lots of different names, and one of them is the Arabon. Which is the word can be translated as the down payment, can be one word, or the guarantee. In some ways, it's a similar word that they use for an engagement ring. In other words, it's the down payment. It's the proof of the fullness which is still to come. Isn't that how powerful that the victory of the cross? And then Jesus says, "Listen, I will only see you again in eternity." Right. So you're going to hang on till I return. But in the meantime, I'm sending you the down payment. I'm sending you my own Spirit, the Spirit of God. I'm pouring out on all flesh so that you will know that this is not just an idea. This is not a thought. This is real. This is the proof. This is the down payment. This is the guarantee that what I've done on the cross is fulfilled, and it's for everybody. And it's for all eternity, and you can have a part of that. And here's the proof. Here's the Spirit, the actual Spirit of God poured out on all flesh. And we have the privilege of knowing that presence, the presence of the actual Spirit of God with us. Isn't that mind-boggling? Before that, the Spirit of God was only on specific people for specific things, right? But after the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is with every believer. And you know, we have the privilege of saying we can be filled and baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in that power every single day and know His presence and know His power in our lives every single day. Isn't that amazing? So, to get back to the sermon. So we have this proof, right? We have this down payment. But how do we grow in grace? How do we grow in humility? And just to go back again to kind of humility is also still a response. You know, sometimes we read in the scripture, humble yourself, which is a good tip, okay? Because if the other option is that God will humble us, it's maybe better for you to humble yourself, all right? I've heard of people praying this prayer, please God, humble me. And then most hectic things happen to these people. Okay, just a tip, all right? Humble yourself rather. But the scripture speaks about humbling ourselves before God. So sometimes in our my Western way of thinking, we think, okay, I'm going to be humble today. I'm going to grab myself, you know, as Americans say, by the bootstraps, I'm going to humble myself. You know, like, I'm going to do this. And then can you see how that just goes back to doing, trying something in your own flesh? Where in its essence, even humility is a response to who God is. It's a response to the grace of God and the love of God demonstrated on the cross. Because it's our response to life and to God, to His glory, to His grace, to His mercy is in humility. It's a response. And even for ourselves to humble ourselves, we need God's grace. Okay? So even for us to have the right response, It's an act of grace. We need that grace from God. So I'm just saying that to lay that foundation. And I want us to have a look at a couple of scriptures which we know very well. But I want us to look at a little bit of context to go with that. Okay, so 1 Peter 5 talks about, and that both of them, I'm going to read from Peter and from James, and both of them quote an Old Testament scripture in the Psalms about God giving grace to the humble and resisting the proud. But I'm just going to look at a little bit of context for each of these, which will help us to understand what they're saying. Verse 5, 1 Peter 5, from verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, clothing yourselves with humility toward one another. That's a good picture, hey? Clothing yourself, covering yourself with humility. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Let's just pause there for a moment. If you look at all these help memes and all these, you know, you know, achieve all you can do, and all of that has got to do with, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to do what's necessary, and there's an aspect of that which is great, but all of it has to do with, I'm going to exalt myself to a point where I want to be. I'm going to exalt myself to a place of where I can achieve, or I can prosper, or I can achieve something that makes sense to me. But he says we humble ourselves, and who does the exalting? It's God. He will raise us up. He will exalt us. So he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the proper time, He will exalt you. All right? So if you're trusting for that promotion or that breakthrough, the key is in humbling ourselves under His mighty hand, and He will do the promotion and the exalting, and maybe not even in the way that we want, in the way that we expect, maybe in a different way, right? And then he says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Somebody once said that the problem often is that while we are humbling ourselves, and what do we do in the meantime before the raising up happens, before the exalting happens, and that like period in between, because who knows how long can it be? You know, in Joseph's story, when he had all these dreams and promises of the purposes of God for him, and then he became a slave and he went to prison. That's great, eh? So what happens there in between? And then it's so powerful because he says here, and what he's actually saying is, in the in between, seeking someone to devour, resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Wow. That's encouraging. But can you see, with the context of the clothing yourself in humility, is the context of trials and difficulty and challenges and life happening. In the context of this First Peter, what Peter is writing, at that time, that congregation was experiencing a lot of pressure from outside. They were experiencing a lot of things being said, insults, all kinds of things from the community against them. So they had all this coming at them from the outside. And so the context here is that persecution and challenge and difficulty and trials. And he says, under all of this stuff happening, humble yourself. So he's saying, what is your response going to be towards the difficult things that are coming across your path? What is your reaction going to be to persecution and to unfair treatment and to insults that aren't, you know, lies and stuff? What is your response going to be? He's saying our response in Christ is to humble ourselves, not to try and vindicate ourselves, but to humble ourselves. So that's an important understanding. Say, okay, this is the context of what he's saying. And then he says, be aware that there is an enemy. He's prowling around like a roaring lion. So yes, there is an adversary. There's stuff coming against us. Life is happening. You know, what is life throwing at you? But we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt us. And then at the end it says, yeah, he himself will restore and confirm and strengthen and establish. That's an amazing promise. This is something to memorize, all right? He will himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish. Let's go on. Let's look at James chapter 4. Another place where James, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? So the context here is there's a lot of stuff happening in church, okay? People are fighting, there's quarrels, there's people being people, all right? If you're looking for a perfect church, this is not it, okay? If you find another perfect church, the moment you join it, I'm just kidding. So the reality is the body of Christ, any church is made up of people. So you have this challenge and this reality of people being sinful and people being broken. That's a reality, right? Even though our desire is to be Christ-like, the reality is we are not yet there 100% yet. So in any church environment, inevitably, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be iron sharpening iron. There's going to be differences in opinion. There's going to be offenses, lots of opportunity to be offended, right? And so there's lots of stuff happening, lots of conflict happening within the church, like a normal, healthy church. And then he says here from verse 1, I haven't written quoted all the scriptures, the verses. I'm just picking out a few. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fighting among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. So he's talking about this kind of internal conflict within us that flows out over into our relationships with each other. And then he says, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Again, talking about under the hand of God, right? Submitting under God, under authority, under his authority that he has appointed, under good authority and bad authority. because all authority comes from God, right? Then he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to God. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So very similar, but the context is different. And but again, there's challenges, there's difficulty, there's it's not easy, this path of growth, this path of I want to grow, I want to become more like Christ. And then we pray that prayer, Lord, I want to become more like Christ. And then difficult things come across our path to help us to become more like Jesus. Because we pray dangerous prayers like that, Jesus was obedient to faithful to answer them. Amen. So when we pray for patience, guess what? We will get a lot of opportunity to practice our patience. When we pray for us to become more Christ-like, we're going to get a lot of opportunity to live self-sacrificially, to live in obedience to a point where it hurts, right? When we pray, Lord, I want to become like Jesus, it means Jesus is not going to change. I'm going to have to change. And inevitably, change is uncomfortable. Growth is not comfortable. Growth is challenging and it's difficult and it hurts. You know, who's that guy that says that, you know, unfortunately, most of us don't change or grow until the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of changing. Okay, think about that. Write it down. Think about it later. But that's real, you know, because we want to be comfortable. We want to be happy and comfortable. But changing and becoming like Christ is not comfortable, and it's difficult and it's painful. But in that, what is our response going to be? Are we going to humble ourselves? So what's the alternative? The alternative is if we don't humble ourselves, because God loves us so much, he's going to help us with that. He's going to humble us, all right? So that's going to probably be more uncomfortable, right? And for me, I have this picture that I got in one of those sessions that we use for marriage prep, and I really like it. But the picture is that we're experiencing something that's difficult and uncomfortable, and now we have a choice. Are we going to humble ourselves and say, Lord, oh, I need you, please. I need your grace in this situation. Or am I going to go into the flesh and I'm going to say, oh, let me figure this thing out. I can do this. I'm going to sort this thing out on my own. So one of them is humble and one of them is proudful, right? So when we choose pride, God says, he steps back and he says, okay, you carry on over there. And the door closes. But the scripture takes it a bit more strongly. It says he opposes the proud. So that's not only closing the door to the grace of God. He's basically resisting. That's not a good picture. I don't know about you, but if, you know, some of the translations, the older one says, God goes to war against the proud. That is hectic. I don't know about you, but that's the last thing that I want to do is have the king of the universe resisting me. Amen? So on the other extreme is, on the other, this other option is to humble ourselves. And the picture that I have in my mind is that these huge doors open up and this massive flood of grace comes into our situation. But until that time, those doors are closed. Until I say, Lord, please come. I can't do this without you. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this in my own wisdom. In that moment, those doors fling open and this river of grace floods our situation. He gives grace to the humble. Are you with me? So, yes, we expect the grace of God. Yes, we can expect his goodness because of the blood of Jesus. But we can also position ourselves to live in a place where the grace will flow. And one of the key places is the place of humility. Are you with me? So there's a standard issue grace that comes to the cross. But even as believers, we have that grace and we have that goodness and mercy. But isn't it wisdom to position yourself in a place continually thinking, I want to position myself to in that flow of grace. I don't want to position myself in the place where I get resisted by God and opposed by God. Amen? Are you with me? Okay, hallelujah. So now, maybe we should do a part three. Anyway, let's go on. So I just put on a bunch of examples here just to be a bit practical about what it means to humble ourselves. So each of these is like a sermon on their own. But let's just quickly go through them. So how do we humble ourselves practically? So what is our response? What is our response to just daily life? Coming to God in praise, as we said last time also, helps us to walk in the Spirit, but it also means I'm acknowledging that He is the King of Kings. He is the one. He is all-powerful. He's all-presence. Everything that happens is in His hands. And if I will live in a life of praise and thanksgiving, it positions me. I'm humbling myself and I'm acknowledging it comes from Him. Are you with me? So that's a good start. When we humble ourselves under the authority of the Word of God. So that doesn't only mean I acknowledge that the Bible is powerful and Scripture is powerful, but that I make sure I immerse myself in the Scripture, because a lot of who God is revealed to us in Scripture. And if I humble myself under the authority of His Word, I'm going to take in as much of it as I can, because I want to live according to His Word. Does that make sense? So I'm humbling myself under the authority of the Word of God. I'm humbling myself by obeying that Word in Scripture and in other ways. I'm humbling myself by coming to Him desperately in prayer and even in fasting. That's what created in this. Because if you think about it, so we've said humility is a response to God, but it's also kind of a posture. It's a posture I take on in life in general and towards life, because life comes from God and everything good comes from Him. So this is a posture. How do we cultivate that posture? And this is what I'm talking about now. So acknowledging that He is the giver of all life, and then in cultivating a healthy life of prayer, it also communicates that same thing and say, Lord, I am dependent upon You first. When things go pear-shaped, where do you run to first? That's always a good measure, right? When the crisis happens, do you find yourself grabbing the phone, or do you find yourself on your knees? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have good friends, right? But let's trust God that in our prayer, in our fasting, that we will be humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, I need You. I need Your presence. And prayer is not only a shopping list prayer, right? Prayer is also a worship. It's also giving thanks. It's also so much more, sharing life with Him. Confessing our sins before God and others. That's living, walking in humility, walking in transparency, recognizing that I need the grace of God. So I'm going to share with trustworthy people around me the things that I'm struggling with. Not everybody, not in front of all church, not in front of everybody, but one or two trustworthy people that love me and that know God, that can hold me accountable, but can walk with me. I'm going to share with them. I'm going to humble myself, say, God, guys, I can't do this on my own. And guess what? I'm making the door of grace just wider by doing that. Looking more to our own faults than those of others, you know, trusting God for that, to get rid of that speck before I notice, or the log in my own eye before I notice the speck in somebody else's eye. Serving others rather than be served. Again, that's the example of Christ. Actively submitting to authority, both good and bad. And this is challenging stuff, guys. We're busy, the guys. We're praying for our government, because this is, history is being made. There's, you know, all kinds of new things that have to happen in government. Please carry on praying. But some of the authority that is over us, all of it's from God. Some of it's not good. Sometimes it doesn't feel very godly. But God says in Romans, He says all authority is from Him. So how do we actively submit? I just want to quickly throw something in here. there's a couple of levels of how we submit to authority. You know, the one is where that dad tells this boy, listen, I've spoken to you 3 times now. If you don't sit down at the back, in the back of the car, something's going to happen. There's going to be serious consequences, you know. And then the boy, the dad's spoken to him a couple of times and realizes now this is the edge now. He's going to get problems. Then he says to his dad, and he sits down, he says, Dad, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. You know? So that is the first level of submission, is when I'm submitting, but actually, I'm submitting under the law of this country, but there's so much in me that doesn't want to, because it doesn't feel godly, right? Because it feels this is ungodly authority. So I'm sitting down, I'm submitting, but actually on the inside, I'm not really. So that's not a good way. I'm gladly submitting because I know this is from God, and I'm submitting to this authority because I know there's a blessing in it, okay? And then there's another level where it turns proactive, where I'm not only submitting and I'm here, you know, it's, you know, in the way I respond or the way I act and the way I speak, but I'm honoring actively, honoring authority. Honoring authority is the next level of submitting to authority, because that means I'm in the way I speak about somebody and the way I speak about government or my small group leader or my pastor or my boss at work that's so unfair. In the way I speak about them, I'm honoring them in the way, in my word, in my action, and in my heart. Does that make sense? So let that be a challenge to all of us. Hallelujah. And then by receiving correction and feedback graciously, that is a form of humbling ourselves, recognizing your life. Like Paul says, your life. The more I grow in maturity, the more I understand how far I am from Christ, how far I am, not in terms of intimacy, but from the image of Christ, how much I still have to grow. So receiving correction, being open, being humble, saying, look, guys, please, you need to help me because I've got a lot of growth that has to happen in my life. And then all the while realizing that we are being transformed into His image. Christ is increasing and we are decreasing. Amen. Like we said last week, that the image of Christ is being formed. We are being transformed. We are changing. Stuff is being cut off. Lots of iron is sharpening iron. Lots of uncomfortable stuff is happening. Why? So that the Lord may be glorified in our lives. So that we might reflect His glory all the more. So that, you know, that they might not remember our names, but they might remember the name of Christ. That if you meet somebody, that they walk away from you and they think, yo, Jesus is amazing. What was that guy's name again? They might forget us, but they might know Him. Amen. And that's why we are Shofar. We're not so big on our brand or on our name, but we our desire is that Christ might be revealed in us. Okay. All right. And I want to close with this that Paul writes to the Corinthians. Before I do that, the one other challenge is, you know, this interesting thing, while I was praying and preparing, I read that sometimes we hide behind dignity. And maybe it's more for us older people. But dignity is, you know, it's a weird form of pride because we don't want to make a fool of ourselves. But a lot of these things, being honest about who you are and where you're at means you're making a bit of a fool of yourself because you're being honest, right? Dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit. All right? Interesting. You know, when that German evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke, he was always very loud and shouting and being very passionate and preaching, doing a lot of his ministry in Africa and really doing amazing work. Then he would go and preach in Germany, and people would tell him, Reinhard, don't you want to tone it down a bit, you know? Yeah, in Germany, things are a bit more reserved and quiet, and, you know, just take it down a couple of notches. And then he would just say, and he would wrestle with God about this. And then the Lord said to him, dignity is not the fruit of the Spirit. So then he was rejoicing, and he just went on, you know. He says, no, I'm not going to quiet down because I'm passionate about what God was to do in this nation, right? Dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit. So let's not hide behind that. Let's not hide behind what might people think. It's actually a form of a fear of man and a form of pride. But how will we respond with what life throws at us? Let's read from 2 Corinthians. So the context or the verse that I'm getting to is where Paul writes that God's grace is sufficient for me. Where God spoke to him and says, my grace is sufficient for you. But I want to read this in the chapter before because, it gives us a context of what Paul is writing about. So just hang in there. From verse 21, it says, but whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool. So he's saying, in a fleshly sense, I also dare to boast of that with far greater labors, far more imprisonments. Okay, so he's been imprisoned more than anybody else, with countless beatings, often near death. This is talking about stuff that he's gone through, right? Imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. It doesn't mean he was high. It means he was killed with stones and the Lord resurrected him, all right? Literally putting massive stones on him till he was dead. So he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. This guy's been through some hectic things. And he's just kind of making a summary here. He's not even mentioning all of it. So this is the context of what he's saying. Guys, I've been through some stuff. It's not only in my head, but in reality, this stuff has been happening to me, the hectic things. And then the key here we want to get to in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And Amplified says, my loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. So God is saying to him, in your weakness, his power is being made known. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me, may dwell in me. So I'm well pleased with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties. Can we read that again? I'm well pleased. What is he well pleased with? With weaknesses, with insults, distresses, persecutions, with difficulties. Why? For the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong. Truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. When I'm weak, when I'm fully aware of who I am, that's when the power of Christ will manifest itself in my life. Amen. That's when that flood of grace will come in. That is where the glory of God will be revealed. Not when I patch everything up and make it look perfect on the outside, trying to hide the cracks, trying to hide the imperfections, trying to dress up my life so that it might look acceptable to my neighbor. No. When I'm real and authentic and honest about who I am and humble before God, so that his glory might be revealed, so that his power might be perfected. Because what happens is when I'm humble and I'm real about who I am, that means that when something good happens in my life, guess who gets the glory? Not me. Not I can say, "Yo, this thing because of me." No, it's He will get all the glory. But when I'm trying to dress it up and I'm trying to hold up a facade that is acceptable, then in some way, and if there's any applause, I will get it. But if I'm real about who I am and I'm walking in humility, then Christ will be glorified, because then His power will be at work in my life. Are you with me? Let's stand this morning. We're going to pray. So in all that the life throws at us, in the storms of life and the hectic things that come across our path, how will we respond? And let me throw in there as well that not only the hectic things, also the good things. You know, I had a chat with a friend recently about this, and we chatted about the fact that when everything goes right in my life, in my job, say I get all the promotions, stuff is happening, I'm taking off like a rocket, you know, my career is going for it, church is growing, or whatever, your business is multiplying, stuff is happening. You and I are saying, "Yo, look at what I managed here." We know that's pride, okay? We understand that's pride, because any good thing, anything that in any way resembles something good is from God, right? But the other extreme, when everything is going badly and stuff is going wrong and stuff goes pear-shaped, yes, we often deal with repercussions of sin. Yes, that's true. But when we take all the stuff that's going wrong in my family and my job and my everything around me and my circumstance, and I put it on myself, I think it's all because of me. That's the same pride. It's the same pride. Weird, because I can't say it's all because of me, because that's saying that I determine all of those things. So be careful of that pride. Either way, you know, becoming depressed and discouraged because all of the stuff that's going wrong is because of me, that's also proudful. Are you with me? So how will we respond? When things go right and when things go wrong, when stuff comes against us, when life happens, how will we respond? How will we come in a posture of humility? So I just want us to take a moment just where we're standing, because I believe this is applicable to everybody. So don't need to come to the front, but let's take a moment just before God, and let's just bring our hearts before Him and say, "God, maybe I've had maybe dignity's been high up on my list, or maybe I've been trying to dress up stuff in my life so I don't get rejected, or to try and please people. That I want to stop doing that. I want to stop leaning on the arm of the flesh. I want to stop relying on my own strength. I want to stop pretending and keeping up appearances. I want to humble myself so that the power of Christ and the grace of God might pour into my life like never before. So that the power and the grace of Christ might overflow in my life. That through all the cracks and all the faults, that the glory of God might shine to the world." So just take a moment where you stand and just say, "Lord, here I am. I humbly bring my heart before You, and I repent of any form of pride, whether it be in the form of fear of man, or the form of made it happen, or if I've accomplished something." Just bring it before Him right now. Acknowledge that It's all grace. And it's all from His hand. Yes, Lord, we repent of pride this morning in Jesus' name. And we humbly come, we say, we acknowledge that we will probably not recognize all of it at once. So we ask, Lord, that from this moment, that You would show us, Lord. That You would show us every bit of pride and self-righteousness in our lives. Everything that we want to boast in. Everything that needs to be uprooted so that we can humble ourselves, Lord. So we ask, Lord, even this week, months to come, Lord, show us. Help us to walk free of pride. And Lord, we choose today to humble ourselves under Your mighty hand. We choose today, say, Lord, give us that grace that we so desperately need. And we recognize, Lord, that this is not an instant thing, Lord. A lot of these humbling ourselves are habits, Lord, life habits, daily disciplines. I'm saying today I choose to humble myself. So I will get up early and I will spend time in prayer and in the Scripture because I need the grace of God in my life. I'll get up early and I'll set time aside because I want to humble myself before the mighty God and I want to know Him more. I want to love Him more and I want to serve Him more. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we bring our hearts before You. We ask that You would do this work in us, that You would give us the grace that we need to humble ourselves daily. The grace that we need, Lord, that the image of Christ may be formed in us for You to be glorified. As individuals, as a body, Lord, as a family in the faith, Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Lord, we acknowledge, we know this is not going to be comfortable. And we ask that, thank You for Your grace, even for that, to live transparent lives, to live accountability, to live in a place where we can encourage one another on this journey in Jesus' name. If you need to, just take a moment and say, Lord, I choose to humble myself in a specific thing. Maybe the Holy Spirit has reminded you of something specific right now. Just take a moment and say, Lord, I cast this on You, Lord, because You care for me. I cast this care upon You, Lord. I choose to trust You with this thing. I ask that Your grace will come into this difficulty. Maybe you've been convicted of that you've not been submitting under authority or you've been bad-mouthing your boss or whoever behind somebody's back or whatever that thing is the Holy Spirit is convicting you of. Just bring it before Him right now. Just repent. Say, God, please forgive me. Help me to walk in a submission to authority. Help me to honor those placed over me. Grace to enter in into marriages. If there's been, if you've not been humbly submitting to one another, if there's been pride, there's been an absence of all grace, just the law, just lots of judgment, open up that door again. Say, Lord, I need you in our marriage. We need You in our family. We need Your grace in our family. Just take a moment and speak with God. Just take a moment, whatever the Holy Spirit is highlighting, just respond to Him now. Maybe it's your finances. You've been just working harder and trying harder and doing more. Say, Lord, I humble myself. I can't do this without You, Lord. I need Your grace in this area. Part of humbling ourselves in our finances means giving to God the best. It means tithing. Saying, Lord, I humble myself by giving You because I know if I humble myself and I give to You that you're able to do more with that, what's left, than I'm able to do with 100%. Thank you, Lord. So as every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you've heard about this grace that is ours through the blood of Jesus, but you know this is not yet true about your life because you do not have a relationship with God and you're not yet born again. You do not have an assurance that you will inherit eternal life. Then I want to invite you this morning to come and pray with me that if you're not completely sure about your salvation, that I believe the Father is extending an invitation to you this morning, saying, my child, I love you so much that I've given my son, and I have a desire for you to walk in the fullness of relationship with the Father. If that's you this morning, while we're praying at the end, I want to invite you to come to the front and I want to pray with you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your peace as we go from this place. I thank you for your presence. Lord, our prayer is, Lord, that your glory will be revealed, Lord. That as we boast in our weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. As we humble ourselves, let your grace would enter in, Lord. And ultimately that your kingdom will come, Lord, and that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.